Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So good to see all of you here this morning. If you have your bulletin, just open that up. A couple announcements here as we begin, just a reminder of some things. Don't forget, we are in our month of mission, and we're collecting items that will be taken to a Valley Mission at the end of the month. And so this is our month of mission in which we collect those items. We also will take a warm meal to the residents at Valley Mission in Stanton as well. And so I hope that you can do some shopping, maybe pick up some items. If you're not sure what to get, note out on the bulletin, there is just a posted thing there where you can see some of the items that they're needing. And so we already have some collection happening here. It's great to, when we go, to just take a trailer full of stuff. And of course, they need it, they depend on it. You know, they have full families there. It's not just grown men and women. There are children there. There are young children there. There are families there that 1 year we were there, there was a family that had came in the middle of the night, early in the morning, that there was a domestic dispute issue. And here this mother came with four or five children right in the middle of the night. All they had was their pajamas and what they had rushed out of the house in. And so this shelter serves a big purpose in our community, help those in need. But it takes a lot of resources to run a shelter like that. When we go, we'll feed, I think they said maybe like around 100 or so people. So you think of that. That's men, women, and children. And so it takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of resources. I pray that you can help out with that. If you don't want to shop, maybe you're not a shopper, there's always opportunity to give monetary gift. Just make sure on the check that you make out, put in the offering plate that you put on there, either Month of Mission or Valley Mission, so that we know exactly what that's going to. Also on the kitchen door, there is that sign-up sheet that we have there for food that will be needed to provide that hot, warm meal for the mission. There's various things from cookies to vegetable soup that is needed. If you can help out with that, maybe you're a good cook. I'd be better at just buying cookies and bringing them than trying to cook it myself. But if you're a good cook, can help out, please sign up and offer in that way. It certainly is needed. Jan, is there anything else that you want to share about that? Yes, first Sunday in November. Janet is our expert cook, and she's able to do miracles in the kitchen. She'll take a lot of different vegetable soup, put it together, and it tastes good.
We appreciate
anybody that can contribute. Yeah, if you can make a gallon, I think is how you've been doing it right. People bring a gallon of soup. How many gallons will you need? About 10 gallons of soup will be needed.
The deacons are working with the youth. I think the youth are planning to help also.
Yes. Yes, the youth will be helping to serve the meal. And so if you have helped with that children in the past or you would like to do it again, just keep that date in mind. First Sunday in November is when we'll be taking that meal to Valley Mission, directly after church, I believe. Well, no, it's usually a little bit later in the day, isn't it, Janet? I'm sorry. But we'll be sure to get all the times and stuff available to you. If you have more questions about providing soup, or maybe you can make soup to help out with that, maybe you have questions, just talk to Janet, phone the service. I know that she will speak with you about that.
Yeah. On top of that, with the kids staying to help prepare the soup and the sandwiches and stuff, lunch will be provided for them at that time. So
right.
The kids will be fed if they stay and help out with the sandwiches.
Yeah, last year there was a lot of work with the children making the sandwiches and helping in that way. And so, yeah, I hope the kids stay and there'll be food and, available for them that Sunday here. Okay, baptism and membership classes are underway. Had the first class today. There's still time for you to join the class if you are still thinking about baptism. We have a membership manual that we'll give to you, and you can look at that. And, looking forward to the 29th. I pray that we have a big turnout here on the 29th. It's important for the church to be here to welcome in those new members, those who are being baptized. It is so important for the church body to be here. And I will encourage each of you to share with those maybe that aren't here to make sure the word gets out. But it is really important, I think, for the church to be here and be supportive of those that are being received in to membership on that Sunday. Fall Bible study will take place this evening at 4 o'clock. If you haven't got a study guide, maybe you want one. There are study guides available. I think I left them there in the kitchen, I believe, in a box. So you can pick one up. There's plenty of study guides still. And maybe you can't make every study. People have told me, I'm not going to make everyone. That's okay. You know, you can follow along with it on at home and then come when that works out. So we'll be here 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock this afternoon. We will be here sharing in that Bible study together through the book of Philippians. Also note there for your calendar, the fall CBM. Also, there will be a leadership team meeting this week. I don't know if we had that in there. But I think it's Thursday is, no, it is Wednesday. The 18th is when we will have that leadership team meeting here at the church at 6:30 p.m. Are there any other announcements that that need to be lifted up or noted?
I'd like to start the choir practice
first. That's right. I was reminded that choir practice is going to begin next Sunday following morning worship, but they're going to start with just the women. And so men, you're let off the hook this time for just a little bit.
The men are so good, they don't
Yeah, I'm part of that. I can only speak for myself, and I know that's not true. I struggle, but I'm glad that, you know, you're arranging that way, and I think it'll make it easier too. And so the women only next Sunday, following service, choir practice. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving, of course, and for Christmas as well. So, any other announcements? Anything else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship your Son, Jesus. That's why we're here, Lord. We're here to worship Him. Lord, it isn't anything about ourselves, but Lord, it's all about you. And Lord, we just want to praise your Son, Jesus. Lord, without Him, we would not have salvation. Lord, without Him, we would not have the eternal promise of heaven. Lord, we would be helpless. We would be hopeless without any hope, Lord, if it wasn't for your Son, Jesus. But Lord, we do have your Son. We have received Him, Lord, the resurrected Savior, Lord. He died and rose again. He conquered the grave, Lord, so that we might have life. Lord, we have conquered death too. And the grave has no sting anymore for those who have faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, we praise His name here this morning. We lift up the name, the only name that the world needs to hear. The only name, Lord, that there is salvation in. And it is in the name of Christ Jesus. And we praise Him together. It's in His name we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. You'll find this inside your bulletin. This coming from portions of the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Of course, this is Jesus speaking here. It says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to their work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city." Let's turn in our hymnal to page 245. What if it were today? I have to confess, this is a new hymn. We've not sang this hymn, so we'll struggle through it together. But even if we don't enjoy the sound of our voice, I pray you enjoy the words that you are singing, because they're so true. So let's do our best job at singing page 245, "What If It Were Today." Start and then the rest gather as the ones that know it. We'll try it again. Second verse, we're going to do our best here. And I heard it, so maybe I'll try to lead us.
Each black note gets one beat.
Yes.
And the white notes get three.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to turn my microphone on and I'm going to try to lead us. And Nancy, you lead us again. Satan's dominion will then be o'er. Oh, that it were today. Sorrowing sighing shall be no more. Oh, that it were today. Then shall the dead in Christ arise, called up to meet Him in the skies. Getting it better, a little better. Faithful, oh, and true. Joy in the heart. Glory, glory, when we shall crown Him King. Glory, glory, Jesus will come someday. Last one. Was that the last one?
No.
Sure, I was hoping it was. Faithful and true, would He find a finer today? Watching.
calling thine. What if it were today? Glory, glory, Jesus in my heart will bring. Glory, glory, when it shall crown him king. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will come today.
Remind me never to put that hymn back in the...
I like the choir and start. Hey, it's the women too.
You know, when I heard it on the radio, I listened to it beforehand, and I thought, wow, that sounds very simple melody. I think we can learn that. But boy, was I wrong. And I'm only speaking for myself. I couldn't learn it. But we'll try it again. I love the words there. The words are so wonderful. What happens if it was today? I mean... That's
time to practice that song first.
If it was today, we'd probably in that moment we'd have been glad, wouldn't we? We wouldn't have to keep singing that song. Let's just pray just a second. Grace Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We make a joyful noise to you this morning, Lord. Maybe it's that song we're learning. Yes, we didn't know it, but Lord, you hear our heart crying out to you. We're just praising you. And Lord, we are looking forward to the day of your return. We thank you for that. We look forward to that day. Lord, when we have our heavenly voices there in heaven and singing, it says that we'll sing a song there in heaven right to you. Even in the book of Revelation, Lord, you've written the words of that song which we'll sing. And I would imagine when we hear the beauty of our voices in that moment and the angels singing forth, that, Lord, it will be a sound like none other. And, Lord, I look forward to that moment. Lord, we look forward to singing there before you, worshiping you. Lord, it can't happen, though, until you come for us. Lord, that's what we're thinking about here this morning. Lord, there's going to be a day, and Lord, which you return and gather us up. And Lord, we look forward to that. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We almost needed a moment of repentance from that song. But it's good. And you did an excellent job, Nancy. Thank you for leading us. I appreciate that. And before I pick another one like that, I'll make sure either I know it or we get someone to know it. Okay, just want to take a moment here to gather up our prayer requests or praises. A few names I want you to put on your prayer list. If you would, put Nancy Bailey on your prayer list. Be in prayer for Nancy. Nancy Bailey shared with me that she's having some tests run this week. And she's getting looked at by a doctor. And so if you would just be in prayer for her healing, recovery, and for the doctors to really get to the bottom of what's going on with Nancy. So if you would, just keep Nancy Bailey in your prayers. Also, would you keep the Ruth Huffer family in your prayers? That is Faye's mother, and she passed away this past week, and so our condolences to Faye and as well to the Huffer family there, and our prayers are with Charles and Faye as they seek healing from the Lord for her loss. Also, if you would continue to be in prayer for Vance and Pauline Knott. I got word this past week that they tested positive for COVID, and Vance had been in and out of the hospital a couple times with that. I think they're doing some better and just trying to get over that COVID infection there. Also, would you put on your prayer list the Merle Long family, Damon and LaBriska Long? Sometimes they're here out in the parking lot. You know, we still have people that come and listen in the parking lot. And thank you, Titus, for always making sure to go out and check that. I know he does a good job with that. But if Damon Long, his mother passed away, Merle Long, And she had been sick for some little while now, and so the Lord called her home and freed her from that sickness. We know she's made whole, and she's healed completely now there in heaven. And so if you would, just be in prayer for the Long family for the loss of Merle. Also, we want to continue to pray for the conflict, the war that's breaking out in the Middle East. We're seeing there in Israel just continued pictures and stories of wrongs that are just unbelievable. Can't even speak of them. It just takes your breath away, some of the atrocities that were committed in that land. And it's just, again, you can't even speak some of the things from the pulpit. It's such gruesome things done to families, to children, to infants. And so we just lift up Israel, we lift up that land, lift up those people that are suffering, that are healing from this attack. And we know that war is still happening there. They're in the middle of this conflict. And so we just pray for peace there, for people to live peaceably with each other is what we pray for that area. And so we pray for God's hand as well upon Israel and his continued guidance to Israel through this. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Gail?
My Aunt Bonnie.
Okay.
Put on life support last week, and she finally gave in on Friday morning.
Okay.
So I'd just like for you to pray for the Hines sisters. That was a long 2 weeks for them.
Say that last name again.
Hines.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Hines sisters. Okay. Gail, certainly be in prayer for you too and your family there, as well as the Hines sisters for the loss of Gail's aunt who's healed. And we just praise the Lord that she's not suffering anymore. Also for your dad, if you would continue to pray for Gail's dad, Steve, if you would, that God would just bring healing to him and continue to help him through his health struggles. Any others? Lee?
A friend of mine, Linda Munger, she has a really bad case of shingles.
Okay.
She's going to be seeing a specialist tomorrow over at Charleston.
Okay. Linda Munger, if you would, Lee's friend, suffering from shingles, very, very painful thing. And so if you would just be in prayer for Linda. Other prayer requests or praises? Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amy, we're glad to hear that. We praise the Lord that you got into your new home and are making that a new home. That takes a little time. And so we just praise the Lord for that. Continue to pray for you guys as you get reestablished there in your new home. So praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing. That's a joy too, isn't it? That's a joy. Any other joys or concerns? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that you are so good. Lord, there is not enough volumes of books to contain all the good that you are. Lord, to write all the blessings that you bestow upon us. Lord, we thank you that you are so good. Lord, you extend your grace to us. Lord, we see that even as, Lord, we struggle at times in this world, Lord, you continue to watch over us. You encourage us, Lord. You give us hope. You pick us up, Lord, and brush us off when we fall down. Lord, you are that friend that is always by our side. Lord, we can always trust in you. It's like your hand is always reaching out to us, Lord. At times we refuse, Lord. We want to do it on our own. And Lord, we know that that's foolish of us. We repent, Lord, of those times we seek to overcome the adversities, Lord, to live our life separate from you. Lord, we repent of those things. But Lord, we seek always to reach out our hand so that we might grab a hold of yours. Lord, you're always reaching there for us, seeking to help us. Lord, just have our hearts to be quick to do that. Lord, this world is a world where there's much suffering. We see it there in Israel. Lord, the atrocities that were committed there, the suffering, Lord, how great. Lord, your people cry out to you. It reminds us even like those Israelites in the Psalms, Lord, crying out to you for redemption, crying out for help, crying out for your protection on them, Lord, against their enemies. Lord, we pray right now that, Lord, you might intercede. Lord, that your will might be accomplished. And, Lord, that you will continue to protect your people, the people of Israel. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are always watching over all of us. Lord, we praise you now for this offering this morning that we bring forth, Lord. We just pray that it is a blessing unto you. Lord, we continue to pray a blessing upon those in the congregation, Lord, that seek to show their support and love to you, Lord, even through their offerings in which they give, Lord. Father, I just pray that it's a blessing to them and that they might know, Lord, that as they give to you, Lord, that you give back in return. Lord, we pray for those upon our prayer list this morning. Lord, there's many names mentioned, Lord, those that are dealing with the loss of a loved one, those that are going through treatments, Lord, those that are still searching for answers of maybe sickness in their life. Lord, we lift up each one and pray that, Lord, your will would be done there too. Lord, we can always trust in you, Lord. We know that we can always, always trust in you. And Lord, that's what I pray most of all, even now, that we put our full faith and confidence and trust in you for all things in our life. Lord, we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church and our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. Thank you to all who are helping with that. In your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? I've really enjoyed this study, I have to admit. We're going to bring this thing to a close here in the next week or two. And I have really enjoyed just looking at what Jesus had to say about certain topics. Jesus had a lot to say about different things, didn't he? He spoke about many different topics, and he taught us many different things. I said at the beginning of this series that, you know, it'd be nice just to kind of go through your Bible and just start looking at those red letters, you know, the words of Jesus. What did he say? What were his words? How did he speak? What did he say? And what was he discussing at that time? And that's kind of what we've been doing. And so this week we're looking at what did Jesus say about his imminent return? And boy, that just couldn't fall any better, I think, because most of us, as we see things happening in Israel, maybe you're reading things on social media or you're just thinking in your head about what Scripture says. But when things are happening in Israel, usually God is doing something. It seems that throughout history, and certainly throughout the Bible, as we read when God is doing something, it often included the people of Israel. And so God has a plan for the nation of Israel. I don't know if you were here when I preached through the book of Revelation. That was a few years ago. But as we went through that book, one of the things you could see is that God has a particular purpose and plan for the children of Israel. God has made a promise where He said to Israel, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Now, when God says something like that, you think He's just not going to follow through with it? God's going to continue to follow through with it, isn't He? He truly is going to be their God always. He's not going to abandon them. God's hand is still upon Israel, even though we have received Christ as Savior and Lord, and that is beautiful. That's what we need. That's what they need. And eventually, all knees will bow, all tongues will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that includes the Jews. One day, and if you read the book of Revelation, you'll come to the understanding that much of that book is written to God bringing His people, Israel, whom He made a promise to a place of seeing and professing Christ as Savior and Lord. And that's the promise that God has made to Israel. And He's going to follow through with it. And you can read through Revelation and you can see how that plan unfolds. But when we think of the imminent return of Christ, we think about things that are happening with Israel even. That as we watch wars, rumors of wars, we watch different things happen there in Israel, that we can somewhat see and know the season we are in when it comes to the imminent return of Christ. And I think that I've maybe heard more, maybe seen more about this topic of the return of Christ just in the last several years than maybe I have in the last 20 years. It seems that more people are being led to talk about this. I hear more people saying, doesn't it feel like something is about to happen? Well, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? To have a vast group of people that in their spirit feel as if something is going to happen. And we Christians know what's going to happen, don't we? That it's going to be Christ's return. That's what's going to happen. That's what we're waiting on. That's what we've continued to wait on ever since He left, right, and was taken up by the angels. The angels said, you know, don't be afraid. Don't you know that He's going to return in the same way that He has went up? He's going to come in the clouds and going to receive those unto His own. Remember that in the book of Acts. And so, but there's just a lot of talk, this sort of feeling that something is going to happen. There's lots of talk about this. And I think that a lot of it has to do with the chaos that we're seeing within the world today. We know that when Jesus will return, well, I preached a little bit about this at the picnic. I hope you were there to hear some of this. But so shall it be in the days of Noah, right? That there'll be all sorts of sinful things happening. There'll be chaos. There'll be disasters. And as you read through Matthew 24, if you read through verses 1 on down to, I think, about 15 or so, you can see some of those things described there, of the things that must come before the return of Christ. And in my Bible, it refers to it as the sign of the times and the end of the age. Basically, there's signs that will lead to knowing that Jesus is coming, of His imminent return, that it's soon. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of war, verse 6 there. But see that you're not troubled. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So you're going to hear wars, rumors of wars. But that's not just itself a reason to know that it's coming. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Notice there will be also famines and pestilence, earthquakes in various places. Pestilence is disease, plagues. Boy, you think about disease. What did we go through for the last, well, from 2019 to what, 21, 3 years there of a plague of sorts. Potentially even a man-made plague, but a plague that ravaged and killed millions of people. A flu. And so we're seeing these things unfolding, aren't we? Scripture is unfolding right before our eyes. The Scripture is unfolding. And we're seeing these things that are written in the Bible come to fruition. These things are coming about. Now, as a Christian, that kind of gets us excited a little bit, doesn't it? Yes, Jesus is coming. We're seeing these things happen. It should kind of excite us a little bit that His imminent return, which means it basically could happen at any time, that these things are drawing near. Goes on to say there that these are the beginning of sorrows. They will deliver you up to be up to tribulation and kill you. This persecution of the church. You will be hated by all nations and My name's sake. I think that even speaking of Israel, you will be hated by all nations. And boy, aren't we seeing today the world start to gather against Israel. You're seeing that kind of that coalition build. We are an ally of Israel, and I pray that America always continues to support Israel. You know, God made a promise in the Scripture that said, I will bless those who bless My people. And so there's a promise right there. There's a direct promise that if any nation or any people that would bless His people, God in return would bless them. And so I think it's important for us to support Israel, to pray for Israel, to be there for Israel. And I think that's what God would desire of us. And so you see here these signs of the times, and I think that's what we're seeing, what we're watching around us, and what is leading us to see that Christ's return is soon. So if you turn in your scripture to Matthew chapter 24, looking at verse 40, I kind of fell short of this. Maybe at I kind of ended here at the picnic. At verse 40, we were talking about the days of Noah. But notice here, I want to continue on here and just read down to verse 51, starting here at verse 40, chapter 24. And it says, then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore. You do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. I'm going to stop there. And because I just want to say, this is one of the ways in which Jesus describes His imminent return. Now, there's several ways here throughout verses or chapter 24 and 25 that we see Jesus is really focusing and teaching on His return. And He gives us several different illustrations of this. This is one here. The thief is one of the ways in which he teaches us. But notice if you back up just a little bit there in verse 32 of chapter 24, you have the parable of the fig tree. The tree that's ready to bud, the, the tree that's ready to give bloom. That's also an illustration, he says. Now learn the parable from the fig tree, verse 32, when its branches have already become tender and puts forth its leaves. You know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. So what's he talking about? He's talking about the imminent return of Christ, right? His second coming. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means will pass away. Like a tree, he says, that's ready to bud. You know, you can look at a tree, can't you? You can look at the tree and you can tell what season it's in just by the look of the tree. Whether or not the leaves are getting ready to bud and sprout, maybe the fruit's starting to grow on the tree. That would tell you kind of where it's at in its life cycle. Maybe the leaves are starting to fall off like they are right now. We know that the trees are getting ready to go dormant, aren't they? And I noticed last night coming home, there was lots of leaves all over the road. And I thought, wow, you know, they're all coming off fairly quick. And it's obvious that the seasons are changing, aren't they? And you can even tell that by the nature itself. He says, if you can identify these things, the seasons, the time of the seasons by a tree, shouldn't you be able as well to know kind of what spiritual season we're in by the things that are happening in the world today? Kind of all those things I've been talking about, what you're seeing in Israel, what you're seeing happen around the world today. Shouldn't we be able to look around and identify, hey, we better get ready because Jesus' return is soon. I tell you, I've heard more people, even more preachers, start talking about the imminent return of Christ, that we need to get people ready. We need to be preaching, proclaiming the good news because it could happen at any moment. I had this radical thought last night as I was dwelling on the return of Christ. Have I told my children everything they need to know so that they don't miss the rapture? Because the thought would be this immediate taking away and that they would be left behind. That was a scary thought in my mind. I didn't like that thought. That they would be left behind, helpless in a sort. And maybe being confused about, first of all, what's happened? Where is Dad? Where is Mom? And then the thought, what do I do now? What did they know that I didn't? And I kept thinking, did I tell them everything they need to know about Christ, about receiving Him, about the return? About that at some moment in this world, there's going to be a vast disappearance of people. Just gone. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in a twinkling of an eye that when Christ returns, the church will be lifted up. There's going to be a moment in history in this world where a lot of people are just going to disappear. It's called the rapture. And it's the imminent return of Christ. He's going to come and receive His church up. You know, the return of Christ kind of happens twofold. The first, He comes back, doesn't step foot on earth, but He lifts up His church. We go up to meet Him in the air. The dead in Christ rise first. Now, the dead are already with Christ in spirit. But notice at that point there's a transfiguration that happens and the bodies of your loved ones will be transformed into the image of Christ. They'll take on that heavenly body. That's when the dead in Christ rise first, and then it says then in 1 Thessalonians that we too will be raised up then and meet Christ in the air. That's step one of the return of Christ. Then you have the tribulation period that will unfold, 7 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation. That's the way the Bible refers to it. And while that 7 years of tribulation is unfolding on the earth, that's God's judgment being poured out. The church will be in a great feast there in heaven. Marriage supper there with Christ, I believe, will happen at that time. The door will be shut. Only those that have received Christ will enter into that place at that time. So we see here that we should be able to identify the seasons by the budding. Note here, chapter 25, we see the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Remember that parable that Jesus gives? We have these five wise, five foolish. They're waiting on the bridegroom to come. Remember the Jewish culture, the bridegroom, the wedding could happen at any moment. Boy, in our culture, we plan everything out, don't we? We have a date, you send out invitations, you know, there's planning, there's the building, there's the whole theatrics of the wedding day and all this. And in the Jewish culture, much different. They're engaged. They kind of know about the time of when the wedding is going to happen, but they're not real sure. It could break out at any moment. All the bridegroom has to do is come for his bride who is in the chamber awaiting him. She's hidden away. And the groom will come and he'll receive his bride unto himself. And this story is kind of built on that culture. Here's these five foolish, five wise. What did the foolish bridesmaids do? They didn't trim their lamps, right? They didn't have oil in their lamps. So that when the moment that the bridegroom came, and he comes in the middle of the night, he's announced, they got their lamps, it's the middle of the night. And yet the five foolish haven't prepared themselves for the coming of the bridegroom. Of course, Jesus is referring to himself then as the bridegroom, right? In this parable, he's the groom. You are the bride. The church. And he's saying there's some foolish. Some haven't prepared themselves. Some haven't readied themselves for the moment that the groom comes. And when the groom comes, there are some that have no oil for their lamp. And they go forth and they say to the other five virgins, please give us some oil to spare for our lamp. Well, no, there's not time for that. There's no oil to spare. And so the five foolish bridesmaids, they go and grab oil and they come to the chamber where the marriage feast is happening. Isn't that interesting? Didn't I just tell you we're going to have a big feast? Big supper? They come and they start banging on the door. Let us in. We have oil. We're here. We're ready for the party. We're ready for the celebration. And what does the Lord say then? What does the groom say? Go away. I don't even know who you are. Once the door is shut, it's shut, friends. That's it. That's why it's so important to be ready. To be ready now. You can't put off. You can't put off your faith. You can't put off your commitment to Christ even another second. It could happen right this moment. It says it's coming when we least expect it. I always believe it. I least expect it right now. So that means it could happen right now. At any moment, Christ could return, and we cannot put off and be foolish and think that there still will be time. There'll be no more time. Once He comes, He receives His church up to Himself, that is it. The door is closed. The door is closed. 24 verses 45 through 46, I didn't read on there because there's the foolish and the faithful servant, or the faithful servant. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed it is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will so doing. Surely I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if the evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, The master of that servant will come one day, or come on that on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice there's the wise servant who is being faithful in which God has entrusted to him to take care of his servants, to feed his servants, to be watching over the house, being a good servant of this man's house. And the foolish one, notice, not caring to feed the servants or to look after the things of the house, but he's just out living the carefree life, the drunkard's life, eating, drinking, enjoying all those things that would be indulgences to our flesh, just enjoying those sorts of things and not doing the will of God. Like a man there who also entrusts his goods to others while traveling to a far country, Matthew 25:14-30. Notice here this man gives some talents to the servants. He gives to one 5 talents, he gives to another 2 talents, he gives to another 1 talent. Remember what the good servants did that had 5 and 2 talents? They went and invested the talents, didn't they? And they came back with double. The 5 had made 10, the 2 had made 4. But guess what the 1 servant did that had only 1 talent? He went and buried his talent in the ground. He did nothing with it. That's like a faith that has no action, I think. Here's a Christian that's born again. God has gifted him or her with certain talents, certain gifts within the body of Christ. And then that believer takes those gifts and buries them away, not doing anything with them. No service to the kingdom of God. No investing in the things of God. Just storing them away. Well, I got them. It's good enough that I got them. It doesn't really matter about me multiplying God's kingdom here on earth. It's more about just, I got them. That's good enough for me. What does God say to His one servant that when he comes and finds him? And it says that the master of the house is greatly angered. And he says, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, isn't it interesting how I think Jesus tries to use the most illustrative way of saying it's miserable. It's worse than you could ever imagine. By using language, weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think it's the strongest thing that he could think of that would hopefully make an impact to the people to say it's not any party. You ever heard somebody say, well, I get to hell, it's going to be a party. We're just going to party away down there, have all my friends, and we'll hammer beers and just have a great time in hell. Well, that's no party. Only thing happening in hell is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus told he told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, who the rich man went into hell. And what does he cry to Lazarus? Just give me one little drop of water for my tongue. At that time, hell was divided into 2 places, the bosom of Abraham, and then there was a holding tank, the bosom of Abraham. It says there was a gulf that divided the two. And then, of course, hell or Hades, this holding tank. That place still exists. The bosom of Abraham has been cleaned out. And those saints have entered into heaven. Read that in the end of a chapter of Matthew where the saints were seen raising from the graves. Bosom of Abraham is ended. But at one point, those that couldn't enter into heaven because Christ hadn't been resurrected were there in sort of a similar place. They could obviously see each other. They couldn't necessarily get to each other. But the rich man cries out, give me just a drop of water for my tongue. Let me go back. Let me go back and just tell my loved ones that they've got to get themselves right with God, because they do not want to come to this place of suffering where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And what does Lazarus say? Can't do it. There is a gulf that divides us. You're separated. You had your chance, is what the Bible said. You had your chance and you blew it. And now you must suffer the consequences of your choices. Too many people today do not want to suffer the consequences of their choices. And I think some of it is being taught even by that we don't want to punish people for the, we don't want there to be consequences for a person's wrongdoing. Boy, I tell you, that's not what the Bible says. That's not the way God handles justice. When you do wrong, you will be judged of that wrong. I don't care what the world is doing and their definition of justice, but God's definition of justice is if you've rejected Him, if you've lived the sinful life, that you will reap the judgment of that eternally. Eternally. And notice there what we talked about here, what we read, our scripture, the thief who comes expectedly in the night. Of course, that's our scripture today. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, rather. One will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief would come, that he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in the hour that you do not expect. What are the takeaways here from these stories? These are all Jesus' words, right? What are the takeaways? Well, we know it could happen at any moment, don't we? The thief comes unexpectedly. He doesn't announce himself. Could you imagine the thief that would call you up on the phone? Hey, I don't know if y'all going to be away from the house this evening, but I'm planning on coming over and just robbing you blind. I hope that you don't be around the house from 3 to 5, because that's when I'm bringing the wagons and we're going to load up all your junk and carry it off. Now, how foolish would that be? The thief doesn't announce when he's coming to rob you. He waits till you at least expect it. I heard a funny story about a man came out of his house and seen his car was stolen. Somebody robbed his car, took his car, took it away. He called the authorities and, of course, they put out a look for his car. A few days went by. The craziest thing happened. The car had showed back up. It was sitting out there, buffed and clean, pretty, better than he'd left it. A note was stuck on the windshield. I am so sorry. I made a huge mistake. I stole your car. And I pay you, forgive me. I made a bad mistake. I cleaned it up. I brought it back. The keys are here. Please forgive me. And here are two tickets to go to the ball game this weekend to just show you how much I want to say I'm sorry. Man, they were just blown away. Can you imagine? They took the tickets. They went to the ball game. And guess what happened? When they came home, they had robbed their whole house. They got them out of the house just long enough to clean them out. Listen, the thief does not tell you when he is coming. It's almost ironic here that Jesus makes a comparison to himself and a thief. You know, thieves, you don't have any dealings or good with a thief. He's not making that comparison of him and himself like a thief in that way. But the thief comes at any moment when you least expect it. That's when the thief is going to make his move. He's going to come quickly, unannounced. And it will be when you least expect it. Number two, when it does happen, some will be ready and others will not. Notice there, the two are in the field. Guess what? One's going, one's staying. Two will be grinding at the mill, one's going, one staying. Isn't it interesting there that Jesus only used two sexes, men and women? He didn't go through all the others that we're apparently making up today. Notice he says, there's a man that will be taken, a woman that will be taken. It's not all these other abbreviated genders that they're coming up with, men and women. And it can happen at any moment, and some will be taken, some will be ready, and some will not. I encourage you to be ready. Be the one that is taken. You ever seen that? Years ago, when I was younger, they had this video or movie come out that was titled Left Behind. And that was interesting to watch that, and just to see kind of a visual of what could particularly take place when Christ returns. And one of the most striking things in that movie that stand out to me is that when the rapture takes place, there's a minister in the movie that's still left behind. And he comes before the Lord and he realizes at that moment that it hadn't been real for him. He'd been doing all the religious things. His heart wasn't given to Jesus. Boy, that was just striking. Stuck in my mind. It better be real. You better be ready. I don't care if you're standing behind the pulpit or if you're sitting in the pews. Every heart should be ready and committed to Christ. There will be some left behind. And I'm pretty sure there are going to be some left behind that probably some of us would sit and think, boy, they're definitely going to be the ones going. Look how religious they are. Man. They're the image of religion, the image of faithful. And yet, guess what? Pull back the layers of skin and inside's an old dead heart that does not care about Christ, nor His cross, nor His salvation. Nor do they care about the salvation of others. Two greatest commandments, love God and love others, right? Three, we are to be keeping watch. Notice there. That's a takeaway. We're to be watching. We're to be ready. I think it's good that we're looking around and seeing these things happening. Should get us excited in the church. Should get us telling others, our children, our grandchildren, our family. Start there. Good place. Have you told all your family about Jesus? Are there still some in your family unsaved? You better get to praying. You don't want them to miss it, do you? You don't want them to miss that the doors will be shut on them and that they would spend an eternity in some place that there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Talk to your family about Jesus. Make sure that if the rapture would happen, that at least they would know that what has transpired while you're gone is because Christ had come back and taken you even as He said. And lastly, we are to remain faithful while He tarries. Notice there, He wants to find the servants being about His business when He returns. Are you about His business? That's the question. Are you about His business? Are you faithfully serving Him? Or are you the servant that's living the life for himself? The party-go-lucky, it's all about me. Are you the faithful servant? We've been tarrying now for 2,000 years. We may tarry for 2,000 more. I don't know. Or He may come this evening. How will He find you when He comes? Will He be glad? Oh, here's my servant, faithfully serving me, faithfully working for the kingdom of God, faithfully doing the work of my kingdom upon the earth. Or will He find you about doing your own thing? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this scripture today. Lord, we pray that each heart here has received it. And Lord, we give You thanks. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn. And... Kenny, I think, is bringing some help for us to sing this time. Yeah. That's what we need, lots of help, and we're glad to have it. Kenny, that's a good idea. Let's stand together to page 238, The King is Coming. I think we know this one, and the kids are going to help us too.
Two times through.
Let's stand together and sing. Isn't it great to have these children here leading us? Boy, we are so blessed to have youth in our church. Praise God. I'm telling you, there's churches that would love to have youth in their ministry. Praise God, we have youth here, and we need to keep encouraging them. So thank you all so much for leading us. 238, let's sing together. Two times through.
Titus.
Our heads in prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for a church that is ready. Lord, we know, we have heard, Lord, we have heard your call for us to be ready for your coming and return for your church. Lord, I pray that we are all ready. Lord, thank you for these children that know the story, that Lord, they patiently await your return as well. And Lord, we just give you thanks that you are coming again for us, and that you are going to receive us up even as you have promised. Lord, we look forward to that faithful day. We praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen.